This is Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by Fingst, the makers of the much-loved Fingst Canary. Starting up today's show with news that the maintainers of the Ruby Gems package repository announced on Monday plans to enforce multi-factor authentication for the most popular Ruby libraries. Starting this week, the owners of any Ruby library that has crossed a total of 180 million downloads will have to enable a form of MFA for their accounts to be able to make any changes or publish new releases. Plans are also being made to broaden this requirement to authors of less popular libraries, although no deadlines are currently set in stone when this will happen. Ruby Gems now joins PyPI, NPM, NuGet, and GitHub itself as major developer platforms where MFA is required in one form or another. Moving on to government-related news, with a report published on Tuesday by IT company Okta, which found that government agencies are far ahead of private corporations when it comes to implementing zero-trust architectures. According to GovTech news site NextGov, one of the reasons U.S. government agencies have been ahead of their private industry counterparts is because of federal mandates issued by U.S. officials related to zero-trust. For example, in May 2021, President Joe Biden issued an executive order to strengthen federal government computer systems and networks via zero-trust architectures. The White House then followed up in September 2021 when it released draft zero-trust architecture guidelines. Also in government-related news, CyberScoop reported that the Pentagon tested its microgrid technology at the DEF CON security conference last week, allowing participants to attempt to hack it and then use their findings to strengthen its design. The Pentagon plans to deploy its microgrid tech to 134 Army bases in the coming years. In data breach news, we had several major incidents disclosed over the past few days. The two largest were reported by secure instant messaging service Signal and cloud hosting platform DigitalOcean, both of which disclosed incidents caused by initial breaches at third parties. Signal said on Tuesday that it notified 1,900 customers this week whose phone numbers were exposed in a breach at Twilio, a company Signal uses for phone number verification services. On the same note, DigitalOcean said that a threat actor gained access to its MailChimp account, which the company was using as an email delivery system, and abused this access to reset passwords for a handful of customer accounts. DigitalOcean said it found out about the hacks after MailChimp suspended its account rather than MailChimp informing its security team. MailChimp eventually disclosed the incident last Friday and said the attack primarily targeted customers in the cryptocurrency space. And since we're on the topic of cryptocurrency, blockchain security firm Slowmist published an overview of the cryptocurrency landscape for the first half of the year. The company said during the first 6 months of the year, cryptocurrency platforms lost almost $2 billion worth of cryptocurrency during 187 security incidents. Slowmist numbers echo similar figures put out by Chain Analysis in a separate report a day later. Also in hacking news, Grupo Financiero Bonarte, Mexico's second largest bank, had the data of more than 10 million of its customers leaked on an underground cybercrime forum last week. The leak occurred after the bank's lawyers tried to intimidate the forum and force it to remove a topic advertising its data that was up for sale. As Brian Krebs reported this week, the site's administrator responded by purchasing and leaking the data themselves as a way to counter the bank's claim that the data sold on the site was fake news. And last in data breach news, CS Money, a marketplace for trading Counter-Strike global offensive game items, said it was hacked over the weekend and lost $6 million worth of player items, mostly gun skins. The site's administrators say they are now working with the Counter-Strike community to recover the stolen items. Moving on to cybercrime news, the US Security and Exchange Commission charged this week 18 individuals and corporate entities for their role in a fraudulent scheme where they hacked into online brokerage accounts and use them to purchase micro stocks and manipulate their price and trading volume. The SEC said the suspects hacked 31 brokerage accounts between late 2017 and early 2018, earning more than $1 million from market price manipulation. Also in cybercrime arrest news, Australian police detained a 30-year-old man from Sydney for his role in a cybercrime syndicate who used SMS phishing to hack access and steal money from Australian bank accounts. According to the Australian Federal Police, the group has been operating since 2019, and authorities began tracking the group in September 2021 as part of Operation Yasion. Another gang member, a 39-year-old from Sydney, was also detained last year in November. On the DevOps security front, researchers from Checkmarks and SNCC found 24 Python libraries uploaded on the official PyPI portal containing malicious code. The 12 libraries found by Checkmarks contain malicious code to launch DDoS attacks against Counter-Strike 1.6 gaming servers, while the 12 libraries found by SNCC contain code to steal Discord and Roblox credentials along with any locally stored payment information. In a piece of interesting threat intelligence, DDoS mitigation service Radware reported on Tuesday that old-school DDoS tools have made a comeback in 2022 to the detriment of IoT botnets and cloud-based DDoS services. This includes simple denial of service tools such as Hulk, High Orbit Ion Cannon, Low Orbit Ion Cannon, and Slow Loris. The company attributed this comeback to the rise of a new wave of hacktivists in Asia, the Middle East, and Russia and Ukraine. Moving on to malware news, security researcher Malware Hunter team has spotted a new ransomware strain named Icefire. The ransomware is being used in targeted attacks, and the group behind it is also running a leak site on the dark web for shaming victims who refuse to pay. Also in malware news, mobile security firm Threat Fabric published a report today on Bugdrop, a new Android malware dropper that comes with features to bypass security protections in Android 13, that is set to be released next month. Dario Durando, senior mobile malware threat analyst at Threat Fabric, is here to share more on the company's findings.
So there has been a clear change in distribution tactics in the Android threat ecosystem. What used to be the land of smishing and web phishing in 2020 and 2021, mostly due to the success of malware families like Cabasus or Anatsa, is now a playground for Google Play droppers. These applications aim at sneaking past Google security measures and land on the Google Play Store to then deploy a malicious payload on an infected device, malicious payload that could be, for example, a banking malware. Google has tried to tackle this issue with its new OS, Android 13, which has yet to be released and will be released in fall 2022. The new security measures that are implemented will restrict the access to accessibility services, which are necessary for pretty much all modern banking malware, and will restrict the access for sideloaded applications, like, for example, the payloads that are installed by droppers. The privilege to request the accessibility services is only allowed to applications directly installed from the store, and the store can be Google Play Store, can be also third-party store. A few months ago, Threat Fabric predicted that this feature would not be sufficient to stop criminals, as it is easily bypassable with just small tweaks in the malware code of the dropper. Our predictions came true with the discovery of Bugdrop. So this malware was created by the Hadouken security group, which are the threat actors behind the dropper Jimdrop and the banking Trojan Xenomorph, both very refined and successful pieces of malware. The Bugdrop malware is still in development, but when it will be fully functional, it will be able to circumvent Google security features, probably even before they go live with Android 13 this fall. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, as the Hadouken group is not the only kid on the block. Actors behind Brunilda Project and behind the Anatsa malware family have managed to land on Google Play Store with carefully planned campaigns, which generated tens of thousands of installations and eventually ended up in tens of thousands of euros of fraud. In addition, we also see non-malicious applications, for example, being updated after months from their first appearance on the Google Play Store with dropper capabilities, once again showing how criminals are approaching malware distribution much more carefully now and not with a spray and pray approach like it was when smishing was prevalent. So there has been, in the last year, a very rapid evolution of distribution techniques, which is led by mobile APTs, but has also been adopted by banking threat actors, which are adapting and following suit and also adding careful planning to their campaigns.
In cyber espionage news, Microsoft security team said on Monday that it disrupted infrastructure used by the Cyborgium threat actor to launch cyber attacks against NATO countries, particularly the US and the UK. The group, also known as Cold River, Callisto, and CA446, used LinkedIn accounts to perform reconnaissance against targeted organizations and then used spear phishing emails to deliver malicious documents and links to evil jinx-based phishing sites. In another APT report published on Tuesday, Recorded Future went over the recent campaigns of Red Alpha, a Chinese APT group that has primarily targeted humanitarian, think tank, and government organizations around the globe since at least 2018. Recorded Future analysts said they believe Red Alpha is made up of contractors conducting cyber espionage activity on behalf of the Chinese state. In vulnerability-related news, Trend Micro's zero-day initiative project said last week during a presentation at the Black Hat Security Conference that it will change its vulnerability disclosure rules. Companies will still have 120 days at their disposal to fix bugs reported by ZDI representatives, but if the bug has been patched incorrectly, they will receive 30, 60, or 90 days to repatch it instead of another 120. ZDI said they are taking this step after seeing an increase in faulty patches. And last but not least, pro-Trump news outlet One America News was banned from the DEF CON security conference last week for violating its privacy policy after its reporters repeatedly took photos and videos showing people's faces without their consent, Motherboard reported this week. This is it for today's news. Today's podcast was sponsored by Fingst, and you can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in the show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.